I hope you enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed singing it. Jesus Christ took a crown of thorns, but he now wears a crown of glory. And one day he's going to be crowned with many crowns when he brings all the redeemed, all that he saved, all that he died for, that trusted in him, when they come before his throne. And we're here to long for that day. I want to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 23. So glad that you're here today. As I look around, so many familiar faces and some faces haven't seen in a long time. And we're so glad that you chose to worship at Calvary. I think more people go to church on Easter Sunday than any other day of the year. It's right real close. You would think with Christmas, but no, not Christmas. It's real close with Mother's Day. Because moms have a good way of getting their children to come to church on Mother's Day. Amen. But we're so glad that you're here to worship with us today as we celebrate our risen Savior. We're going to do something a little different today. And so you might pray, because some of you think different's not good. I want to back up a little bit, and we're going to focus in on Luke 23 in just a little bit. But I just want to back up and make sure you get it. Because sometimes when we start with the resurrection, when you start with the empty tomb, it loses a little bit of its meaning. Because before the tomb could be empty, the tomb had to be filled with the body of our Savior. But before the body could be laid in the empty tomb, he had to die on the cross. And we're going to back all the way up, and I'm going to read to you, and it's going to be a little different because it's going to come from the different Gospels. This is kind of a harmony of the Gospels. And I want to start all the way back at Jesus' betrayal in the garden. And so much of your New Testament covers the period of the last week of Christ's life. We have a little bit along his just 3-year ministry, and then so much is given, so much detail is given of that last week. And then towards the end of the week, when it was time for him to die, Jesus gets his disciples together. They observe the Passover, and then he institutes the Lord's Supper, what we call communion today. And they go out into the garden, and there Jesus prays. And you'll remember how he prayed in great agony, and how he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he prayed, "Lord, if it be possible, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And as he finished praying, he woke the disciples up yet again. And he said, "You can sleep on now, because the one who's coming to betray me is coming." And we're going to pick up right there, when Judas would come and he would bring the soldiers along with the chief priests and scribes and elders, and he would come to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to do a lot of reading. I'm not going to give you the references, because there's no way that you could flip back and forth as fast as you would need to. So I just plead with you to listen to the scriptures this morning. Listen to the Word of God and listen to what our Savior went through for us, because I believe there's power in the Word of God. And we need to remember what Christ has done for us. So before I begin reading, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace today, I thank you for the privilege to gather to sing your praises. I thank you for the freedom we have to worship openly. I thank you for the price that was paid to give us that freedom. But today I thank you above all things for Christ, our Savior, who left the glories of heaven and was clothed in human flesh, who took on the likeness of men, and lived a sinless and perfect life, the spotless Lamb of God, who willingly gave that life on Calvary's cross, who suffered and bled, took on the sin of the whole world and died so that we could have forgiveness of sin, who was buried and laid in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights and rose again the third day. Lord, we thank you for the death and resurrection of our Savior. I pray that everything we do today would be for your glory. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to not be distracted by other things, but to listen to the Word of God today. And as people hear the Word today, I pray that they would believe. And as they believe, they would call on your name. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who's never been saved, they've never been born again, that today they would repent of their sin and unbelief, that they would trust in Christ with all their heart. Lord, I pray for all who are saved, that your Spirit would do a work in our hearts today, that we would be changed made more like Christ, conformed to your image, that we might live for you in a greater way. May your love constrain us today, that we would live for you in a greater way than we ever have before. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Please bless the reading and preaching of your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Take him and lead him away safely." Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus saith unto them, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and saith, "Master, Master," and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, 'Of them which thou gavest me, I have I lost none.'" And they laid their hands on him and took him. When they which were about saw what would follow, they said unto him, "Lord, shall we smite with the sword?" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then said Jesus unto Peter, "Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Thinkest thou not that I cannot now pray my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and elders which were come to him, "Be ye come out against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it is expedient one should die for the people. Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And so did another disciple. The disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the temple of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. And when they had kindled the fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What have I said unto them? Behold, they know what I said." And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But neither so did their witness agree together." And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." And they did spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the second time the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy who it is that smote thee." And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, ye will not believe. And also, if I ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." And they said all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "Ye say that I am." And they said, "What need we of any further witnesses? For we ourselves have heard his own mouth." And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to the Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood." And they took counsel and bought them with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me." Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and saith, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priest accused him of many things, and he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that heareth of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, "I find no fault in him at all." And there were the more fears, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked him whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him many words, but answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." Now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner, whosoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound at them that made insurrection with him, and who had committed murder in the insurrection. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said, "Whither of the twain will ye that I release?" They say, "Barabbas." Pilate answered and said again, "What will ye then that I shall do to him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And he said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." When Pilate had saw he could prevail nothing, that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man!" When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith to Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, set down in the judgment seat in a place called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And they released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast in the prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. He delivered him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they gathered together the whole band. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. They plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" they smote him with a reed, did spit on him, bowing their knees, worshipped him. When they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. They compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And there followed him a great company of people and of women also, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. And they shall begin to say that the mountains fall on us, and the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? There were also two malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when they had tasted thereof, he would not drink. When they were come to that place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. And sitting down, they watched him there. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, This is Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. And with him the two thieves crucified, one on his right, on his other on the left, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, He was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of the Jews, let him come down now from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth, and they were crucified with him, reviled him. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard this said, Behold, he calleth Elias. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let's see whether Elias will come and save him. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And the sun was darkened. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out after of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which are done, smote the breast and returned. There were also the women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joses, and of Salome, whom also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw he was all dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he saw that it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. And he went boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, calling unto him the centurion. He asked him whether he had been dead a while. And when he knew of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And he brought fine linen. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. The women also which came from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. They returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. They rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have your watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Let's pray together one more time. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, the truth of the sacrifice of our Savior, the truth of his death on the cross, and the truth of his burial, and how he was sealed in that tomb for 3 days and three nights. Lord, give us understanding today and convict our hearts. Lord, I pray that someone here who's never repented and trusted Jesus, today they'll repent of their sin and unbelief. They'll turn to you and trust in Christ with all their heart. Lord, I pray for all of us that we would just rejoice in what you've done for us. And Lord, that we would live our lives for your glory. Please help me now, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know that that was a long reading, and I know some of you have probably never heard it quite like that before. But when you take all the different gospel accounts that God has given us, he gives us different parts from different ones. And I wanted you to get at the whole overview. I want you to understand today what Christ did for you. I want you to hear it just from the Word of God that Jesus suffered and bled and died, and he suffered at the hands of so many. I mean, when they came to arrest him, his disciples forsook him and fled. And anybody who did follow, they followed afar off. He was forsaken by all. And if you listened there, you heard over and over that it might be fulfilled which was spoken. The scriptures were fulfilled over and over and over and over. So many details of everything that Christ did. And listen, it's not like he set out, he went out of his way to make those things happen, but he did because he's God. But the ones who were his enemies were the ones that fulfilled the scriptures. By them hating him and murdering him, they fulfilled the very things he said would happen hundreds of years before he was born. And I want you to think about our Savior, who, what had he done wrong? He healed the sick and he made the lame to walk and the blind to see. He raised the dead to life again. He proclaimed the gospel and said that he was God. And that's why they killed him, because he claimed to be God. But he couldn't say anything else because he is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so they took Jesus, and you'll notice over and over they mocked the Lord. Over and over they spit in his face. Over and over they beat him. Over and over they abused him. And then, as if that wasn't enough, they mocked the Lord, and then they scourged the Lord. And we read these things, they scourged him. But friends, you ought to understand the torture that it was to be scourged. And they stripped him and strapped him to a post, and they whipped him with that cat of nine tails. And many people wouldn't even survive the whipping. And by the way, these weren't Jews. We say a lot of times that it was 39 stripes. It was 40 save one. Well, that was the Jews' law, but the Romans didn't always go by that. They just beat Jesus until they were tired of beating him. And then they mocked him some more. And friends, I'm telling you that he suffered. And then they led him away. The creator of the universe was led away by wicked men. When they got to Calvary, they nailed him to the cross. They drove those spikes in his hands. They laid one ankle over the other, and they drove a spike through his ankle bones. And they hoisted him up. When they hoisted him up on that cross, the shoulders would be pulled out of their sockets. And some of you have never heard this, and many of you have, but you need to understand, we have the word today. We say something excruciating. Well, that comes from the crucifixion. Because these people went through excruciating pain that were crucified. And our Savior, just to draw breath, to say the things he said from the cross, in order to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he had to go through excruciating pain to pull on the nails and to push on the nails in his feet and to get a breath to say, Father, forgive them. For 6 hours, he hung on the cross. And he became sin for us, though he knew no sin. When Jesus gave his life, they didn't have to break his legs. The Bible said that not a bone of him would be broken. To hasten the death of those on the cross, the soldiers came and took a large hammer and broke their legs so that they couldn't push up to get breath, so they would suffocate faster. But they came to Jesus, he was already dead, because Jesus wasn't killed by the Jews and Jesus wasn't killed by the Romans. Jesus gave up his life. And he had already given up the ghost. And I'll never understand what would possess that Roman soldier to take the spear and run it to the side of Jesus. Well, the Bible said that he would be pierced. And he took that spear and he ran it up into the side, and blood and water came out as he pierced the heart and the sack around the heart, and the blood and water flowed. They took him down from the cross and they anointed his body and they wrapped him in a clean linen cloth, a fine linen cloth, and they laid him in the tomb and they rolled the stone in front of the door. And to help out, the Pharisees said to Pilate, listen, he said he would rise again. We want to make sure they don't steal it. We want you to set a watch. So they got some soldiers and they sealed up the tomb so nobody could get in, and they guarded it so Jesus' body couldn't get out of the grave. But I want you to look, before we get to Luke, please look at Matthew 28, verse 2. Matthew 28, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Jesus was crucified, and before the sun went down, he was laid in the grave. Amen. We reckon our day's a little bit different. But it was early Sunday morning when they came, before the dawn of the day. Now, we count our days from midnight to midnight, but the Hebrews, they didn't do that. They counted their day from sundown to sunup. It's from sundown to sundown. So about 6 o'clock in the evening. When the sun set, that was the end of the day. You started a new day. And Jesus said he would spend 3 days and three nights in the grave. When they got there, we know that he was in the grave for a night, right? They put him in the grave before the sun went down at the end of a day. Now, most people in Christianity today believe Jesus was crucified on a Friday. I don't believe that.
Amen.
I believe Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, because if you just add up the days, it's the only way it works. Amen. He had to spend 3 days and three nights in the tomb.
Right.
He was crucified on Wednesday. When the sun went down, he spent that night, the next day, the next night, the next day. You have to start counting with the night. So that means that Jesus, before they came, he had already risen.
Amen.
It's already gone. At the end of that third day, Jesus had risen again. They didn't have to roll the stone out of the way to let Jesus out. The angel didn't come and roll back the stone to let Jesus out. He was already gone. He came to roll back the stone so that we would know he was risen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is risen. How do we know? Well, the soldiers are there. The angel came down, there was a great earthquake, and the stone was rolled back, and the angel sat there on it. And the Bible says in Mark 16 and verse 1, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices, and they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, that Sunday, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun and said among themselves, "Who shall roll away us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. In Luke chapter 24, the Bible says they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words." That's Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. Verses 3 through 8. So, Jesus spent 3 days and three nights in the tomb, just like he said. At the end of the day, he rose again. The next morning, the angel comes and rolls back the stone. Why? Because he knows the women are coming. And I want you to think about the testimony of these women for a moment. These women had been following Jesus. Mary Magdalene had 7 devils cast out of her, and they began ministering to the Lord. They followed him around Galilee. They followed him back to Jerusalem. They were there when Jesus was tortured. They followed Jesus up to Calvary. They watched the Lord die. They watched the spear being thrust in his side. They watched the Lord's body wrapped up. They watched his body being laid in the tomb. These women were there, and they saw everything that happened. And you got to go, where were the other disciples? They forsook the Lord and they fled. They were running. They were hiding. But these women continued to be faithful. They followed to see where he was laid in the tomb. They followed him there in the next, and they waited 3 days and three nights. And they came back to anoint the body of the Lord. They waited until after the Sabbath was over. There was a high Sabbath day, and then there was the weekly Sabbath day. And as they came, they were wondering, man, how are we going to get that stone rolled back? There's no way we can roll that stone back. We're going to have to get some help. But when they got there, as the sun's coming up and the dusk is fading away, they see the tomb is open. And so they look inside, and he's not there. The angels appear to them, and you got to love this, right? "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." Look at verse 6, Luke 24, 6. "Remember how he spake to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words." Jesus had told them this multiple times. Multiple times the Lord said, "I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer there. I must die there. I must rise again the third day." But they didn't get it when he said it. And how many times does God speak to us and we don't get what he says? Matthew's account, the angel says, "Go quickly and tell the disciples he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run and bring his disciples word. for they trembled and were amazed. In Mark's account, In Luke's account, in verse 10, the Bible says it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Jesus had told them several times, I've got to suffer, I've got to die, I'm going to rise again, but they didn't believe. When the women saw the empty tomb and the women saw the vision of the angels, they went and told the disciples and they still didn't believe. When you study these accounts, it's really hard to get it all together. It can be a little confusing. But my Bible tells me in Mark chapter 16 that the first person to see the risen Savior was Mary Magdalene. Mark 16 and verse 9, the Bible says, when Jesus was risen the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And so it looks like this. The women come, Mary's part of that group, and they run back to tell the disciples, and it looks like Mary went ahead of them. And she must have been a little faster than the rest of them, because she goes and tells them with the group and then comes back. Because we find Mary Magdalene alone in the garden with the Lord. In John 20 and verse 12, the Bible says, she seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other feet. The body of Jesus had lain, and they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. I want you to get this. Mary was there, sees the empty tomb, the angels. She runs away, she comes back, and she still just doesn't know what's going on. She talks to these angels like she's talking to anybody. Why are you crying? Because the body of Jesus is gone, and I don't know where they put him. She goes outside, she sees Jesus, but he doesn't reveal himself to her. He does that after he rises again. People don't know who he is. She thinks he's the gardener. She asks the gardener, who she thinks is the gardener, if you took his body. Now, why would the gardener take his body? Listen, she's just distressed. She wants to find the body of Jesus to properly bury him. You see, I want you to get this. So many skeptics say that we can't believe the Bible, we can't believe the resurrection. And I want you to get this. The disciples didn't believe the resurrection. The women who were there, they weren't there to find the risen Savior. They were there to anoint his dead body. The disciples, even when they heard that angels had been seen and that he was risen, they didn't believe it. I'm just trying to say, if you were going to make up a story and try to convince people, would you make it up to where you didn't even believe the story yourself? Tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And she went and told them that they had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. So the women come, they see the angels, they go back to tell the disciples. Peter and John come running to the sepulcher. They ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. By the way, when you read the book of John, John calls himself the other disciple. He calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. So Peter and John come running to the sepulcher. When they get there, they see the stone open, and John just kind of looks in. He doesn't go inside, but Peter, what do you think Peter did? Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home, but Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Listen, I just want you to get it. The women come, they see the empty tomb, the angels appear to them. When Peter and John come, they find the empty tomb, and if somebody stole the body, what would they do? They're going to take the time to unwrap the body and wrap up the linen and lay the napkin off to the side and fold it all up nice and neat? No, listen, grave robbers don't do that. If you're going to rob a grave, you just grab the body and run. But Jesus rose again, and he didn't need those clothes anymore. He had a glorified body and glorified clothes. And so the grave clothes, but this is incredible to me. Jesus made his bed. I mean, he folded everything up nice and neat and laid it all there in order. And this is one of the things when John saw it made him believe. When he saw the empty tomb, he saw the grave clothes laying there, he believed. Now, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 11. Now when they were going, some of the watch came into the city and showed the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave large money to the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this money, or this saying, is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. In Luke 24, we won't take the time to read it. Jesus appears to the two men on the road to Emmaus. And as they're walking, the Lord comes walking along beside them, and he does, they don't recognize him. And he says, "What's wrong with you guys? Why are you so sad?" They say, "Well, man, haven't you heard what's going wrong around here? You haven't heard about Jesus of Nazareth? You haven't heard about all the things that have happened? We thought he was going to be the Redeemer of Israel, and now he's dead." And Jesus says, "Oh, fools." And he begins to preach to himself the things from the scripture, beginning with Moses and all the way through the prophets. How much would you love to hear that sermon? And he goes through the scriptures. And when they get to the place where they're staying, they get him to stay with them. And when he breaks bread and blesses it, their eyes are open and they know it's Jesus. And the Bible says he vanishes out of their sight. And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together at them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." They told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. So now the angels have appeared to a couple of different groups. Now the Lord has appeared to a couple of different groups. And now they're all together. And in John chapter 20 and verse 19, the same day at evening began the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified, in Luke 24:37, terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see me, for the spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took and did eat before them. I spent so much time reading, I don't get to have much time preaching. Don't look so sad. Jesus, when he gave his life on Calvary, the disciples were done. They forsook him and fled. They went and hid. They were scared the Jews were going to find them and kill them too. Their Messiah, their Savior, their Redeemer, he was dead, and they were done. They had no hope. The disciples didn't believe. They didn't remember what he had said. It's like their ears were stopped up. They just didn't even hear it. the women who were so faithful to follow Jesus everywhere. I mean, they weren't scared to be there when they were questioning Jesus, and they weren't afraid to be there when they were crucifying Jesus, and they weren't afraid to stay by, and they wanted to know where Jesus' body was laid. I mean, they followed him everywhere. But when they came to the tomb, they didn't come to find if he had risen like he said. They didn't remember that. They were just there to give him a proper burial because it was all done in such a hurry. Nicodemus brings 100 pounds of stuff, and they anoint him real fast, wrap him up, and put him in the tomb. They got him, get him in the ground before the sun goes down. And so they wanted to give Jesus a proper burial. They had no hope. It was all over for them. And I just want to say this morning. Sometimes you feel like you don't have any hope. Sometimes you feel like it's all over. And I'm here to tell you today, if you've repented and trusted Christ, there's hope.
Amen.
Because friends, even though they didn't believe, and even though they weren't looking for it, even though they weren't longing for it, even though when they heard it, they didn't even believe it, it was still true. Jesus rose again the third day. He conquered death and hell in the grave. So not only did he pay for our sins when he died on the cross, he conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He rose again, and he promises that if you believe on him, he'll give you everlasting life.
Amen.
There is hope today.
Amen.
And it's not hope for a better life now.
Amen.
It's hope for eternal life.
Amen.
I want to tell you the truth this morning. You could have stayed home this morning and watched TV in there. You could have heard somebody tell you that your best life is now. But I want to tell you that following Jesus is not necessarily going to make this life better for you. Following Jesus will give you eternal life.
Amen.
It may actually mean that this life is harder for you. The Apostle Paul followed Jesus with all his heart. And what did he get? He got stoned and shipwrecked and left for dead. He got beaten with rods and scourged, imprisoned. It wasn't good for him by our standards. But He said the present sufferings is nothing compared to the glory that Jesus has in store for those that love him.
Amen.
I'm telling you today that the resurrection is glorious, and we ought to worship Jesus that he suffered and died and that he lives again.
Amen.
And I just plead with you today, if you've never repented and trusted in Christ, that today you would. You see, we all have an appointment with death.
Amen.
It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every one of us has an appointment with death. And if you face death without Christ, you face an eternity separated from God in the torment of hell and ultimately the lake of fire. None of us deserve what Christ gave for us. But he did it because he loves us. And he offers forgiveness and eternal life to all who will believe. He came preaching, repent and believe the gospel. And if you would turn from your sin and trust in Christ, he will forgive you. He will give you eternal life. And if he's done that for you, the Bible says we ought to walk in newness of life. We ought to follow him in baptism. We ought to serve him in the church. And we ought to live a new life.
Amen.
For the one who died for us. This morning, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please. Sometimes there's a temptation as a pastor to try to elicit emotional responses. Set the right mood, have the right music for the invitation, tell emotional stories to get people kind of stirred up. I want to tell you that that's never my goal, it's never my intention. Because I believe the Word of God still changes people's lives. I believe the Spirit of God still moves in men's hearts. And you've heard from the very Word of God today how much God loves you, what he was willing to do for you, and the price that it paid to take away your sin. If you've never been saved, I plead with you to repent and trust Christ today. If you say, well, I know I'm saved, but you're not living for Jesus, I pray that you get right with him tonight and renew your commitment to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. If his Spirit's convicting you, if his word has compelled you today, I ask you to come while we sing.
Page 521.
Number 521.